Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Wake the fuck up, samurai. We have a city to burn.
You're listening to Geek Media Core, your weekly podcast for all things geek pop culture. What's up, geeks? I am Mike, and this is issue number 121 of the Geek Media Core podcast, where this week we are talking E3 2019, the death of Fox Marvel, and the weird circumstances behind the cancellation of Swamp Thing. But we begin by saying hello to the man who would never, ever challenge Tom Cruise to a fight on Twitter. What's up, Dan?
I would never, because I need more Mission Impossible movies in my life.
You know that guy would train like crazy to fight anyone in the octagon. There's not very many people, very actors I would take to beat Tom Cruise in a fight.
I don't even need him trained. Like, he's crazy. Like, this is a dude who literally, he has no reason to fly a fucking helicopter, and he flew a helicopter just for the fuck of it. Like, no. Yeah.
So that's the weirdest story ever. So yeah, that's just, I don't know if it was real or not, but somebody said, like, Dan DeVito said, "Fight me, coward." So I don't even know if that was real or if that was.
No, that's another motherfucker I wouldn't want to fight.
Dan DeVito,
he ain't gonna mess around with you. He's going to put
those
you down.
Those are crazy, man. So those are crazy. So we are back after eight.
I do have a question, because it was, yeah, the tweet was going around. If you had to tell, who was your challenge 31 years?
Oh, 31 older? Years older than me. I was like, oh shit, Arnold's 31 years older than me. I'm still gonna lose versus Arnold. So oh shit. Well, who'd you have, youngster?
You know, I've got a few. I got the voice of Mario, which I would probably just like.
See, I just picked the first one that came up. I was like, oh shit. Yeah.
I think the biggest name was probably Willem Dafoe, and I'm like, I could fuck up Willem Dafoe if I wanted.
I don't know, man. You ever seen Boondock Saints? I think he's insane.
I got some good ones though, voice actor wise. I got the voice of Mario, and then I got Kevin Conroy. So I'm feeling pretty good.
You know, fight Batman.
I got Bill Nye, so I'm like, cool. Like, these are guys I want to have a drink with, not even throw a punch at.
Right, right. So yeah, we're not going to be challenging any celebs to a fight on Twitter, but still, I would make Tom Cruise the heavy favorite if that fight happened versus Bieber, not you. You're scrappy. I don't know.
I would take Tom Cruise over most people. Just, he's fucking,
because he would train. He would hire like the world's greatest fighters, and he would find the League of Assassins and train for 1,000 hours. Just to fight somebody, yeah, because that's just what he does. So we are back after a brief hiatus. It was a combination of no real stories, and I went back to work and it wiped me out. So real life got in the way there a little bit. But hey, over the quick little break here, Danny, is there anything that you watched, read, listened to, played, anything of note over the past couple of weeks you want to talk about before we get going?
Nothing of note. I mean, just trying to get away from the foul taste in my mouth that Game of Thrones had. Looking for a summer binge, and yeah, haven't started that yet. So
haven't started Handmaids, huh?
I had not. No, I had the nice week off from work, and real life kind of got in the way. So we'll get there.
I know he's being less of a loser, guys. He's going out and having like a life and stuff. This is not fair. I haven't been watching much. I've mostly been reading, but since I do whatever I'm reading, I do book reviews for that on the channel now. So I'm not going to talk about that here. I'll bring up Good Omens on Amazon. I started watching that just because it's David Tennant was in it. That was the only reason I mainly was going to watch it. I have not read the Neil Gaiman novel. I haven't read any Neil Gaiman novels except for Stardust. I know that kind of gets like my geek cred revoked a little bit. I've read a couple of his things, and it wasn't really my style. But the show is very, very cool. It's very British. So if you're not into like British-y kind of thing, I say it kind of reminded me of the movie of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. But Tenet, obviously, always awesome. Him and Michael Sheen have like wonderful chemistry together. I think it's a good time. I think you'd enjoy it, especially if you're a Supernatural fan. I think you'd like it because it's like basically making fun of all the apocalypse, you know. So it's serious, but not serious at all. It's just a good time. It's a good time. I got two episodes left. I'm enjoying it. It's only six episodes. One of the criticisms was they were saying that they wish they had made it a full series instead of just adapting the book. Whereas I'm like, no, just adapt the book. Don't do that. Like Nosferatu by Joe Hill, that series just came out. And the complaints that I've heard is that they're trying to make it a series instead of just adapting the book. And that already deflated me to where I don't even want to watch it now. So, yeah, I recommend it. I think that everybody would like it if you like a laugh. If you're a Doctor Who fan, definitely you would like it because it's David Tennant. But Danny doesn't have Amazon, so he's not going to stream that. So let's get right into it with something that else that I know that he's not going to be interested in. That's talking about The Dark Phoenix, the last X-Men movie under the Fox umbrella. Well, I guess not. It's still going to be the Fox umbrella, right? It's still going to be Fox, but it's going to be under the Disney umbrella. Let's put it that way. But the last non-Disney Fox Marvel movie. Apparently, Danny, this is worse than The Last Stand. It's sitting at a 23% on Rotten Tomatoes. I didn't see what the audience score is. It had the lowest opening for X movie ever, 33 million. I know that there was like no buzz for this because people are like, why am I going to watch this if it's ending? But as me and you being Big McAvoy fans, I love Fassbender. I love this cast, really. I hate to see this guy. I said that I feel like Fassbender and McAvoy deserve better than this. I didn't see it, so I can't attest to it, but people that I know that were saying, these guys were saying that people were too hard on Apocalypse, and they're saying that this movie is bad. So, yeah. I'm not going to say, I know you read spoilers to see if it's just as bad as you're hearing. Guys, spoiler alert, because I'm going to ask Danny to tell me what's so bad about this. What's just so awful?
So, I don't know. I have friends that are critics, and you know, they couldn't talk about the movie to a certain point, and then I was just like, yo, just give me the truth. Like, what is wrong with this movie? There are a lot of things wrong. I think, you know, we had the delayed production timelines, et cetera, et cetera. I guess the movie that was originally written by stories that have come out was very close to a blend of Captain Marvel and Captain America Civil War.
Yeah, I heard it was going to have the Skrulls in it.
The Skrulls were in it at one point. There was a X-Men versus X-Men like Civil War in there, and you know, the delays kind of led them to change things. So you have what we saw in a lot of the DC movies, which is like three different movies being mashed together and kind of like Frankenstein. And I think that's incoherent. I think the second thing is that, you know, for a Dark Phoenix story, they say that there's still a lot of focus on Professor X versus Magneto, and you know, McAvoy and Fassbender are great actors, but if you're going to do the Dark Phoenix saga, you got to put Jean Grey front and center, and you got to make people give a shit about Jean Grey and like her fall from grace. I've heard mixed reviews on acting from anyone that isn't McAvoy, Fassbender, or Sophie Turner, who everyone said like, yeah, that she gave it her best, but that script just did not do her any justice. And frankly, the ending sucked. I mean, even reading it out loud, I'm just like, are you fucking serious? Like, I guess the end of it is Sophie Turner's character does not die. She's good. She kills whatever bland villain Jessica Chastain is. And then it ends with Charles and Magneto playing chess, and then they see a Phoenix symbol in the sky. And it's the most vaguest, blandest shit I've ever read. Like, period. Like, it's really bad.
They shot this entire third act, and that's what they came up with?
Yeah. You know, it just, I think the biggest thing for me and reading everything about this movie is that when you do Dark Phoenix, it is supposed to be an emotional capper to everything. The problem is that this X-Men timeline, this X-Men universe has always been Charles and Magneto. It has been a very much look at their relationship. So much so that the X-Men from First Class, they kind of got rid of and jettisoned after the first movie. The second movie brought no real new mutants except for Wolverine, who, of course, we know what happened with Hugh Jackman. So he's not here. And then at the end of Apocalypse, which was a dreadful movie, you get the new class of mutants, but you don't get to spend any time with them. You don't develop those relationships with them. I mean, compare it to the Marvel Cinematic Universe, where everyone is like in their fields with Tony and Steve, you've spent maybe cobbled together maybe half a movie with these kids. And then you're going to be like, oh yeah, now Scott, you got to sacrifice Jean, and Jean, you got to be killed. And you don't wait, this time we're not going to actually kill Jean. And it just is a mess. It's a mess. They didn't know what they wanted to do. They rushed it. I think somewhere down the line, Disney's probably going to give this a stab. It's like, it's going to be like phase 8, 9, and 10, and they're probably going to nail the shit out of it. And I hope they do, because this is a story that, I mean, they've tried time and time again to tell outside of the comic books, and no one can touch it.
Well, we started a thread on Twitter, you know, about, hey, should the MCU ever touch Dark Phoenix? And you said not for like 20 years. I feel like at this point, with how much stock they've already built up in Scarlet Witch and her being tortured, I'd rather them go the House of M route than doing Dark Phoenix. But, you know, they might cast a Jean Grey that everybody just falls in love with, you know, and I think that's what you got to do first. You got to make audiences fall in love with the character before we're going to give a damn about what's this storyline. So, yeah, just, I don't know. Leave it alone.
I mean, the whole point, one of the points for me of Dark Phoenix is it is what made it such a good comic. It is a literal fall from grace of a hero. And we haven't seen that story really play out in the movies. One day we will. I hope it is Dark Phoenix, because it can be a great story. The X-Men as a whole can be great for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because it's one of the easiest ways you can keep churning characters in and out. And it would be nice to see those characters as a team treated with care and respect. With the exception of Logan, we really haven't seen that. Like, I mean, hell, look at their first iteration of Deadpool. They didn't fucking get the character right. It was a fucking joke, to the point where they make fun of it today.
All right, well, let's talk about the now scrapped Fox Marvel universe, because I still don't believe that New Mutants is ever coming out. And when it does, it'll just drop one day on a streaming service. I don't care how many times they keep giving us release dates for it. I don't believe it's ever getting a theatrical release. Apparently, the story came out that they had made a little roadmap of what they were going to cross over with their Marvel properties, and they had planned on Fantastic Four Part 2 was supposed to end with an X-Men crossover, and they were going to do X-Men versus Fantastic Four or something silly like that. When that Fantastic Four or Four Stick or whatever people refer to it as now, I've heard of it as the movie that actually made Dr. Doom worse than he was the first time they tried it. Unbelievably so. That, I think it seems like everything just unraveled from that point. And besides, if it wasn't for Logan and if it wasn't for Deadpool, I think this thing would have unraveled a lot quicker than it did.
I think Deadpool gave it more legs just by being the success that it was, and it freed them up. I think Hugh Jackman, by being Hugh Jackman, forced their hand to lean into Logan, and they let it open up a little bit more with Deadpool. The whole thing is, I mean, state this, the first X-Men was a game changer, and the movie at its time really changed how comic book movies were made. Cannot take away from that legacy. X2 still holds up to be a pretty good movie. X3 sucks. The First Class, again, great start. And then Days of Future Past, I enjoy, and it was supposed to fix everything, and then they made Apocalypse. And I think part of it is Fox was so intent on rushing movies out and keeping that license for Marvel, but B, making a quick buck. I genuinely don't think Fox executives gave a shit about the quality of the movies as long as people were going. So much so that when you read these anonymous interviews from Fox executives, they were arrogant about how Apocalypse fucked up. They thought it was a blip in the tank and just like an anomaly. Oops, like you didn't learn your lessons, and then you deliver something that's even worse. And it's a shame, because we will see the X-Men go on the back burner, and they should go on the back burner. The audience needs to like forget about them for a little bit. They need probably 10 years, another whole Marvel saga, to forget about it. And I think it's great, because the Fantastic Four are in need of rehabilitation, to the point where to yesterday's announcement of the Fantastic Four being in Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3 is the first time that they've been used outside of anything like the Marvel decree of not using the Fantastic Four is over, it's a great sign, and we need to pump them back up. And reading some of the rumors about what the Fantastic Four movie could be, it's going to be great. And I fully support Marvel putting them on a spotlight, letting us cool off on the mutants, and then getting to the mutants down the road eventually.
Right. As much as I want to see, because I'm a huge X-Men fan, and just the idea of seeing it done right this time. Like, don't get me wrong, there were some Fox X-Men movies I really enjoyed. Okay, I was. But it never felt
fantastic.
It never felt like my X-Men, you know what I mean? So as excited as I am, yeah, I do need a break. So guys, please stop with blank should be cast as the new Wolverine. Just let it rest for a little bit, and especially Wolverine. They're especially going to have to distance themselves from that for a while, because you know what? No matter what it is, well, it's not like Hugh Jackman was, you know, so... Yeah, we're going to have to take our time with this. We're going to take our time. And I'm fine with that. I do wish they'd have a Deadpool 3 be a Deadpool Kills the Fox Marvel Universe or something like that, though, because that's such a cool comic.
That could still happen. I wouldn't mind that at all. I do think that with the Fantastic Four, you can tell 10 to 15 years of stories without relying on the X-Men. So, yeah, I don't mind them putting the Fantastic Four there, getting Doctor Doom into the universe.
Get humans in it.
No. Let's get Doctor Doom in the universe. Let's get Galactus in the universe. Let's get, you know, hell, if you want to take Mr. Fantastic and eventually turn him into the Maker, let's do that. Let's do all this crazy, wild, Beyonder shit, and then we can get to the X-Men. Like, the nice thing for Marvel is that the bar has been set so low by Fox that they literally cannot screw this up any worse.
Right. I said I felt like that Fox had lowered the bar so bad for Fantastic Four that it wasn't going to be the thing. I feel like X-Men's almost been lowered to the point where it's like, it's just a toxic property, and you got to let that funk get off of it for at least about 5 years. Kind of like they did with the Ang Lee's Hulk. You know, you got to wait at least about 5 years, let people forget about that. It doesn't fall into like the Green Lantern territory where they're just like scared of it. But you know,
I think the thing for them too is they have to legitimately think how they're going to fold the X-Men into the universe. I think I pointed this out before when Disney bought back Fox. Magneto proves to be a big point like of contention, because in the Marvel Cinematic Universe timeline, the 2023, he's 85 years old or somewhere around there in his mid-80s.
They'll have to do time travel.
They'll have to do time travel, alternate universes. But at the same time, now you have audiences who are so tired of seeing Charles and Magneto kind of go back and forth in monologue. Actually, one of the spoilers I did read is that there is a line in the movie about it where Magneto's like, oh, another monologue, like something along the lines of another monologue. No one cares, Charles. And like, they just get on with it. Like, they need to really rethink what the central focus of the X-Men is. And my hope is that they will get back to what the X-Men are. The X-Men are outsiders. You can use them as a parallel for almost any group of people in the world today. Let them be that, and let them kind of be like what they were at the beginning, which is you don't know, like the others in Lost, when the others in Lost were cool. Like, you don't know who they are. You don't know what they want. You don't know, you know, if they're more scared of you than you are of them. Let them be a little dangerous and a little bit of are they villains? Are they heroes? And then let's get to all this other pontificating about morality.
Right. Even though I'm excited, let's take our time with the X-Men.
And the great thing is, 10 years from now, 10, 15 years, CGI is going to be so much better. Their powers are going to look 1,000 times cooler.
I mean, they might not even need actors at that point, right?
It could be robots.
All right, let's talk about the other end of the spectrum here. Birds of Prey has the lowest budget of any DCEU movie. Kind of like my interest level in the movie is movie. I could give a shit about this. $75 million budget. I don't care. I think Shazam was like 80 and then it looked fine, but it also did feel very grounded. So I don't know anybody really that asking for this movie. If you're like yelling at me right now, I'm sorry. It's just, I have zero interest in this, and I don't even care if it's got a good trailer. I don't think I will be seeing this until it's on home video.
It's going to need a good review for me to go out and see it. I don't mind the low budget because all these characters are street level characters. So you just shouldn't need a heavy reliance on CGI. I mean, none of these characters, with the exception of Black Canary, have any sort of superpower. So it's going to be a lot of practical stunts, a lot of fake guns, fake bombs. I'm cool with it. That's fine. It doesn't need money. But it's going to need a good trailer. It's going to need some sort of hook or angle beyond, hey, come see Margot Robbie be crazy, to get me into that theater. The movie title is still ridiculous. I can't take it seriously. Like, even looking at the poster right now, like, I just cannot take this movie seriously because Fantabulous Emancipation of One, blah, 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 blah. Like, give me, it's the Birds of Prey. That on its own should be enough. The fact that it's not makes me worried, but I will wait until I see a trailer, hopefully at Comic-Con, and we can go from there. But this movie has an uphill battle to climb, for sure.
Well, apparently
it's kind of a Batman movie without Batman. So,
right. Apparently DC has no plans to be at Comic-Con this year. If you take to heart what Patty Jenkins, I don't know if she was saying that, like, Wonder Woman's not going to be at Comic-Con this year, or she's not going to be there this year. By the way, that Wonder Woman poster, I know you liked it. I thought it looked stupid as hell. Because you know why? It's all the stuff we always complain about those Marvel posters, how it looks like they just pop someone's head off and put it on something else. It looks like her head is just like superimposed on a drawing. I think it's ugly as shit. I don't know why everybody's like, oh, that's so incredible. Like, what?
I like it because, again, this is a great move by DC to distance himself from the Snyder era. It's colorful. If we're going to go with the 80s, you're going to make that a big point. Give me full on 80s acid trip. Like, give me like the colors, the weirdness, everything. The comic book side of me, the cool thing that I've seen people point out is that costume that she has is her Kingdom Come costume. The shoulder pads, the only thing missing is the wings that she has, which may or may not show up. I think that's cool. Like, anything that references Kingdom Come, which I think is a great comic in general, even if it's just the costume, it's great for me.
Talking about the aesthetic of the picture, it looked like a really bad Photoshop. Obviously, anything that's Wonder Woman kicks ass for me, and I'm about it. I just don't know why everybody was acting like that. It was like the greatest poster they'd ever seen. I was like, this is the same posters by Marvel that we were trashing. So
it's a great sign, though, if you're DC, if people are that hungry for Wonder Woman content and they're going to flip out over a poster. So that's, if I'm DC, I feel great. I feel encouraged. I really, 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 really want to see a trailer for this movie soon.
He said it's,
I don't, again, great sign that people want it, but
well, I mean, we're a year away. We're a year away from the movie, so
it's good that people want a Wonder Woman movie. It's good that Aquaman is still chugging along. I mean, the DC movies in general, who knows what their direction is, but they've at least got some clear tent poles. Wonder Woman, Aquaman, Sparkly Batman, and we can see like they're making another attempt to be relevant again.
You guys don't like my disinterest in Birds of Prey. I like the direction that they're going in right now. I like that they seem like they actually do have a plan at this point. Joker looks really cool, and I didn't expect to like that. So, I'm not just sitting here trashing them for sure. I liked Shazam quite a bit. Plan on watching it again when it comes out on digital, because my wife's a big Chuck fan and she wants to see it. You know, me and my kid went and saw it and he wants to watch it again. So, I know that the people like now that were really high on Aquaman now are saying they didn't like it. So, I mean, I don't know. I think that's another one of those cases where everybody just like talks themselves out of liking something. But I definitely like the direction they're going in as opposed to where they were even just 1 year ago.
I like that they're not forcing the team up. Just make some good movies. Like we said, make the good movies. Let's go from there. Let me want it.
Quinn, because that every those little snippets that they put together, that looked just like a CW show to me. So I don't know.
I mean, it's the opposite effect. I mean, it's opposite of what James Wan did. Like, James Wan was like, I want to get this perfect. I don't want to even show you a glimpse of it till we get there. Meanwhile, they're like, oh, here's some like camera shots and camera tests for you guys. I don't want any of that. Give me what I want.
Some non-superhero stuff here. It does happen, guys, believe it or not. This is what I was afraid of with the whole Hollywood legitimization, I guess they're calling it, of horror.
Jordan Peele's doing Candyman, remake of a reboot, I guess, of Candyman. And, you know, anything that he does in horror now is going to get, you know, mainstream's attention. I read that this reboot is supposed to be tackling, quote unquote, toxic fandom. And I feel like, one, this isn't the movie to do that. And two, I feel like people have lost sight of what that word means. You know how it used to be like, oh, if someone says something I don't like, I'm just going to call them a troll, even though that's not what it meant. I feel like now someone disagrees with me, they're a toxic fan. I feel like people have lost sense of what that term actually means. If you set out to make a movie that you tell everyone is going to be polarizing and divisive, well, you know that you've set out to make a movie that's going to upset maybe half of your audience. Calling them toxic because they don't like it, I think that that's just a, I don't even know what that is. That just seems like an easy cop-out for me. So if that's what this movie is, and again, I'm just going off of a headline. I didn't read the article or nothing like that. It might not be nothing like that. But as far as the boogeyman where you say his name three times in the mirror and that's going to be a commentary on toxic fandom, that's not what I was excited about when I heard that he was going to be making this.
I don't know anything about Candyman. Never seen the movie. Don't really know the character.
You say Candyman in the mirror three times and he appears.
Oh, so he's Beetlejuice.
Sort of.
I read a little bit about this. They, of course, don't have a script or details on how they're going to get into fandom or tying that back to the movie. I think the one article I read was talking about it addresses it, you know, as reference to stuff like petitions that fans start about changing things or the over-the-board harassment that some actors get for being in these movies or et cetera. It's high concept. I'm curious to see how they can tackle it and tie it back into a Candyman movie. It's Jordan Peele. So A, it's got my attention. B, whether you love, like, neutral on his movies, don't like them, he puts a lot of thought into it. He doesn't do anything half-assed. So I'm curious to see his approach and how he ties all these elements together. I know that our guy, Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, is playing Candyman. By the way, his star is on the rise. I mean, he just seems to be collecting checks left and right these days, so more power to him. But again, it's one of those things, like you said, it's the mainstreaming of it because, hi, guy who doesn't really consider himself a horror fan, and tell me more about this Candyman guy, and tell me more about, like, what this movie is going to be about, Jordan Peele, because I'm interested.
I'll expect the best, or hope for the best and expect the worst. Probably that's probably how I go about it. That's how I do with a lot of horror, though. Not just his stuff. I said after our mini review for Us that I felt like his best movie is still to come. I don't think it's going to be this one. All right.
I will say though, this is Jordan Peele. This is only his third movie, but he's executive producer of the CBS show. He's got his fingers in a lot of productions. I hope my man's not spread too thin. I'm all for like tackling everything that you want, going after your passions, but I hope the guy is also giving himself to the right projects and like really putting his heart into everything. And I don't think he wouldn't otherwise, but I hope he's not just like spread too thin. And that's part of like, that's my worry with Jordan Peele moving forward right now is he's so hot that everyone's going to want a piece. And it's just like, just let my man create, let him do his thing.
You know who's hot right now? Tom Holland. Because anytime there's any movie now where you want like a young kid, everyone, the first guest you see is Tom Holland. Tom Holland's like, okay, he's 23.
But I mean, he's not the first guest. Hold on. The first guest is Idris Elba. Then
Okay, but if you want just anyone, it's Idris Elba. If you want like a young kid, it seems to be
Idris Elba.
Tom Holland right now. If you need a female lead, Idris Elba. I love the Uncharted franchise on PlayStation. I know that you're a Microsoft guy, so you don't know the series, but I'm sure you've heard of it. Nathan Drake is a very, very popular character in the Uncharted series. It's basically a mix of Indiana Jones and Tomb Raider, just exciting, exciting games, very cinematic. And they've been trying to get this movie off the ground forever. Well, they finally got an actor to play Nathan Drake, and it's Tom Holland. And I'm like, look, man, I like Tom Holland as much as anybody, but they fucking play this game? Because Nate is like late 30s, early 40s. I mean, there are flashbacks to when he's like a 9-year-old orphan. So I don't know what they're thinking with this. I don't feel it at all. And I just look at it again. I'm like, wait a second. What studio is distributing this? Oh, Sony Pictures. It makes so much sense. Yeah, they don't know. They don't know. They've already got Tom Holland under the Sony umbrella. They've got PlayStation under the Sony umbrella. They're just, that's what this is. They just threw one of their actors on it, meaning that they have no idea what this game is. Because everybody, fans of Uncharted have been clamoring for Nathan Fillion for this role for years. And I said, I thought he had kind of aged out. And then he made that little mini independent movie last year. And it was awesome of Uncharted. And again, it's like, Sony, you don't know what you have. You never do. God, Disney, please buy Sony. So upsetting.
As I read through this, because you're right, I don't know anything about Nathan Drake, so I'm trying to take a crash course in Nathan Drake. I read the one line where he's like, oh, yeah, he like throws a lot of quips and taunts. I'm like, well, that's probably what a Sony exec grabbed. And it's like, that's like Peter Parker. Let's get Tom Holland. The hard part that I'm having is like you read this description of Nathan Drake and it just sounds so incredibly bland. And then one of the quotes here says, you know, Nolan North, who's the voice actor, was told to instruct his own, imbue his own personality into the character. The problem with that is Nolan North, love the guy. He's like considered the premier voice actor for video games. He's been in like literally hundreds of video games as a voice. Like he's everywhere. And to the point where there are memes online about Nolan North and like, oh, he just plays Nolan North and they just put him in a new role every time you just need like generic leading white guy as a lead role. So I don't know, like just reading this, I don't know who Nathan Drake is. And to your point, like even the photo, he looks like a dude in his 30s, and that's not Tom Holland. Tom Holland's a great actor. Don't get me wrong. I see a disconnect. To your point again, does anybody play the game? I'm going to guess no, because we've talked about this. Nobody plays video games and makes movies. Right. They never get the spirit of the game right. Tomb Raider came, in my mind, the closest. But even still, they fucked that up. And they had Angelina Jolie, and she's the fucking best.
Hey, I just want to interrupt this for like a sports single fast. Jordan Alvarez just hit another home run. All right.
Great news. I get why people want to make video games the next comic book movies. I just wish someone would literally say like, hey, I'm the biggest fan of this series and I get it. I get the spirit of it. Things will change in adaptation. That's fine, but no movie seems to capture the spirit of what a game is.
Right. You know what it's going to take? It's going to take someone like a Christopher Nolan taking Batman and saying, look, you can make a serious movie off of this. And then people are going to be like, oh, holy shit. And then there's going to be a boom on video game adaptations like there was with superheroes. That's what it's going to take. I don't know that it ever happens, but I'm saying it's going to take something like that to legitimize the genre before they ever get it right. Because like, for example, Gears of War, I know that's a series that you like a lot. And what are the guys that are making the movie say, oh, we're not really going to be following the game very much. Then why the fuck are you making a Gears of War movie?
Nathan Drake is a lovable jerk who is light flipping.
He's Han and just Solo playing with more quips. That's all. Yeah, he's Han Solo.
Okay, then get Ryan Reynolds. Done. There we go.
I would have been more okay with that. He's under the Sony umbrella. I guess he did that Bodyguard movie or something, so I don't know if that really counts. I don't know. This just seems like a weird choice.
I'll go back to it. The movie, the video game movie that they need to crack, the one that makes the most sense, the one that you can actually get away and do, is Metroid. You can tell Metroid the movie and it will be fantastic. It will be badass and it's an easy story. Cool. Woman is a space bounty hunter killing aliens.
Mass Effect. That's what they should do. But it should be a TV series.
Mass Effect really should be. It should be an HBO series.
Yeah, for sure. Does it need money?
Just
don't get Dan and Dave to do it. All right, let's keep rolling along here because we got a lot to talk about.
They also need to get Matt Fox to play Captain Shepard. That's the only requirement.
Sure. He needs to hit
100% the guy.
Hit the gym, party of five. Hit the gym.
The MonsterVerse. I don't think that you've watched any of them, but I'm a big fan of them, and I really liked. I didn't care for that first Godzilla attempt. I really liked Kong.
I was wondering which MonsterVerse you were meaning.
No, the Dracula and my mommy, that stuff. No, that's dead. I'm talking about the Kaiju MonsterVerse.
There we go.
I've heard from everyone I know that saw Godzilla King of Monsters that it's excellent. That it's not going to be winning any, you know, screenplay awards, not like that. But if you want what we all came to see, two giants wrecking each other, then it's an awesome movie and it's an awesome time at the box office. And it didn't do very well here. $80 million domestic here, but it's going to hit about $300 million global. So I'm hearing now that they're, you know, they had plans after this. They're going to start lining up King Kong versus Godzilla. That's awesome. My childhood is like screaming right now and fist pumping. And now they're saying that like it might get delayed because they expected a more warm reception to this movie. We got to depend on overseas in China to save this movie for us. So I
will say that the reviews that I've heard from people, it's one of two things. They either focus. People that don't like the movie don't like it because there's too much like people and we don't give a shit about the people.
Right.
And the people who just focus on the monsters are like, I didn't give a shit about the people, but the monsters are where I came for. And that was a kick-ass fight. That's why I want to go see Godzilla King of Monsters. I didn't watch Godzilla movies growing up for like the freaking plot or like the human romance angle. I don't give a crap about that. I want to see Godzilla
blow a hole through someone's chest, you know?
I want Godzilla like stomping monsters. I want Rodan coming in, tearing people apart. Like, I don't need anything else other than giant monsters kicking each other's ass because that's really what I want to see.
I think they I
spent 20 minutes of this podcast talking about freaking King Shark versus Gorilla God. That's all I want.
Right, and I think that I think the problem was is that the budget got a little more inflated than they let. It was like over $150 million, so it's probably with marketing, it might break even, you know. And I don't think that that's the kind of reception they were hoping for, because Kong Skull Island, while it wasn't anything, again, a screenplay that was going to get you excited, it was a fun movie. I had a great time with it, so I do intend to go see this while it's still at the theater. I just haven't had a chance yet. I think me and my kid might do a double feature of this and Toy Story. So. I guess I like to say, try to get out there and support it. I don't even know, because I'd like to see this monster universe keep going. Even if it just ends with King Kong versus Godzilla, I need to get that movie, you know? So
I think
we'll see.
Maybe this is a little bit much of a crutch, but at least for me personally, like getting to the movies after Avengers Endgame has felt, I don't want to say a chore, but like, I think people underestimate the ripple effect of Avengers Endgame where you're just like
drained.
Exhausted and like satisfied and cool. Like, I don't need to see a movie, because that's part of my issue with going to the movies and seeing like a Godzilla right now. Is like, you know, I'm good right now. Movies, like, give me like a few more weeks and then I'll get to the movie theater and then I'll go see this movie and I'll go. Because downside of a universe is like you have to invest and see 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 19, 20, 21 movies. And right now, I'm just like, let me give it a little breather and let me get my heart back into it.
I did see a pretty funny meme about the preview of King Kong versus Godzilla.
I want to see that.
And they did a Martha joke, but with Mothra, and that's why they're going to stop fighting, because they're going to be like, we both love Mothra. I don't know. The Batman v Superman, the memes will never end.
I just want to talk right now. I need Godzilla versus King Kong in my life. That is something I need. I don't want to go through life and not see Godzilla v King Kong and just let these two go at it. I also don't want them to team up and then like fight some other third monster. I just want them going at it. Give me them. You could even Rocky freeze frame it and just like have the frozen where they're both exhausted. But let me see this fight for like 20 minutes.
Right. It's kind of like how I felt about Freddy versus Jason. And I was like, dude, I don't care about any of these human characters. They're just fodder for Jason and Trey to kill off, right? Don't give me any development on them. But when they had their fight, it was worth it. It was awesome. And, you know, it did have like an ambiguous ending. And I think that's for sure what you do. I don't even care. I don't care. I just need to see it. Let's move to TV. You know, something that since we started this podcast that I've been needing to see is
them to do a faithful adaptation of Frank Herbert's Dune, my favorite book of all time. Well, that's coming, but I don't know if they're like super excited about what's going on with it or what, but now they're saying that there's going to be a Dune television series based on, I'm pretty sure it's based off of his Frank Herbert's kid, Brian Herbert's book, Sisterhoods of Dune, which if you want my honest opinion on this, here's what I think happened. I think
you're excited.
Well, I think I think that they wanted Brian Herbert. Obviously he runs his dad's estate and he wanted to have some feedback on the movie. And so I think that they threw him this morsel so they wouldn't have to have him be a guiding voice on the movie. I think that they threw this to him and Kevin J. Anderson, who write all of the new spin-offs, which spoiler alert, they're not good. They're fucking bad. So hit or miss. We'll put it that way. They're hit or miss. So, I mean, hell, some of Frank Herbert's sequels weren't that good. But, yeah, this is definitely, that's definitely what this feels like. It also feels like
what
capitalizing on, yeah, I don't even know. I don't even know what service this is on or anything, but the Bene Gesserit are basically this order of super badass women that rule, that run things. They run shit. So I think this is trying to do that and trying to capitalize off of the strong female thing that's real popular right now. And I just hope it feels like a companion piece to the movie and not just, oh, you like the movie? Check this weird thing that's nothing like the movie out. But the pilot's going to be directed by Denis V. So I think that's the only reason we're even like talking about it.
I think, well, I mean, that's one hell of a pilot right there.
He is a
big time filmmaker. So that gets me interested, if nothing else, in watching the pilot. But I think what you described is right. Like, even hearing you lay out the situation, it just seems like it's someone's vanity project. Like, here are the shiny keys over here. Don't look over here.
Get off of our movie set. Yeah, that's what it feels like. But I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Brian Herbert. You know, he's one of the big reasons that this even happened, that this adaptation that we're getting with Legendary Pictures even happened. So I don't want to just kind of shit on the guy here. A lot of the Duneverse fans are very, very vicious to this guy because all those books are pretty bad. So, and they feel like that he's just, you know, shitting on the universe that his father created. But, you know, Christopher Tolkien did the same thing and people lay off of him. So whatever, whatever. Let's move along here. Michael Rooker, who is, you know, Aryandu, he is casting.
That, yeah.
This is a new segment of Hail to the King here. Inadvertently, Amazon's The Dark Tower adaptation is rolling. They are actually started production. They started announcing some of the castings and stuff like that. I've actually seen like some screenshots. But Michael Rooker is cast in an unknown role. And you know what? I don't even care what it is. I don't care what he plays. I'm on board. Give me more Michael Rooker. This now has Yondu and Sir Bronn in this show, man. Come on. Let's go. Yeah. I'm excited.
Those two alone, like, just give me them at a table model, like, dialoguing to each other.
I don't even know what roles they're playing, but I'm for it. I'm definitely for it.
Even though my feelings on Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 are well documented on this podcast, Michael Rooker is still the best part of the Guardians franchise, and I'm for it. Like, I'm 100% more interested now to see it because he's involved with it, and, you know, it doesn't hurt that Sir Bronn's in there because Sir Bronn can take a little piece of dialogue and he can really spin it. So
yeah, no, look at that like one like scene they gave him in season 8 of Game of Thrones. All right, it all comes back to that, don't it? And that's a good point to go ahead and talk about. Hey, did you see today that Emmy submissions have come in and HBO has submitted Game of Thrones for numerous Emmys for season 8, including Best Writing. The jokes write themselves, Danny.
I mean,
this is an accomplishment thing. Like I said about Lord of the Rings, how they gave everything to the third Lord of the Rings movie. That's what this is. It's not going to be for season 8. It's going to be for an achievement of the show as a whole.
Anything that has aired on some sort of service can be submitted for an Emmy. Like, submitting is not a thing that is hard. It'll be interesting to see HBO's eventual campaign for this because I'm with you. I think that because of all the hate, the four-year consideration campaign that they're going to run is like, hey, this was 8 seasons, and it changed pop culture, and it was everywhere.
And Peter Dinklage, we love him, guys. Yeah.
I laugh when I saw this. Like, I laughed so hard, like 5 minutes straight out loud. Just like, I can't believe the arrogance that HBO has. And HBO kind of has to do it because this is the last chance they get with Game of Thrones. It's their big flagship show. What else are you going to do? Like, you can't not submit. That's why I say it'll be interesting to see the campaign, because if they spend dollars, they're going hard for it. If they kind of like are tepid about it, they realize they fucked up. This should not win a single Emmy. Maybe you could convince me, based on the episodes submitted, that they could win cinematography, because there are some gorgeous, gorgeous shots, some gorgeous effects. The costuming is still top notch.
Yeah, I can be okay with the music. Best original score. Yeah.
Music, writing, directing, editing, best acting, period. With the exception of Peter Dinklage, who really did try. He really tried.
He tried, yeah.
I don't want to see any of this. Like, it should not win. If it wins, it's because it's a Lifetime Achievement Award, which is not the intent of the award at all, and that everyone with a vote should remember that. And then the second part of it is HBO just, like, really, really called in a lot of favors and shelled out a lot of money, because the 8th season is an abomination. It's garbage. I can't wait till they do a reboot of this eventually.
You know, the thing is like, I'd already moved on. I'd already forgot about the show.
This makes me angry.
To the point, yeah, where, like, when I see people, like, still talking about it on Twitter, I'm like, dude, shut up. Move on. So, yeah, that's why I guess it's aging even more poorly than I expected it to.
And it makes me angry, not because I'm bitter about the way the 8th season went. The whole point of the awards, it's twofold for me. One part of it is there's a lot of work, especially in TV, because there's so many channels, so many services, that just people don't have the time to see. That these awards are meant to help draw people's attention to, like, hey, you might have missed this awesome series, this awesome performance. And because of Game of Thrones, a lot of things are going to likely be snubbed, because let's face it, Game of Thrones is still going to get eyeballs and it's still going to get nominated. The other part of it is that if Game of Thrones does somehow manage to steal an award because of money or influence or whatever, someone is going to get snubbed that should win it, because there are, again, lots of TV out there, lots of great performances, a lot of great actors, actresses, directors, etc., who deserve the recognition, and not because they spent 8 years making this TV show and they feel like they're entitled to some award. So I'm upset because the integrity of the awards really is kind of like at stake here when it comes to what happens with Game of Thrones.
Well, we see the Oscars do it all the time. You give basically lifetime achievements or basically, hey, that movie you were in 3 years ago, here's your Oscar for not that movie. And they did it with Leo. So it happens, but I don't like to talk about Game of Thrones too much, because you can see that Danny's, like, internal body temperatures rose about 20 degrees in this segment. So
there's TV is so crowded these days. The fact that Game of Thrones is likely going to take up spots for well-deserving people who have busted their ass for a year, like, give me a break, guys. Like, it's bullshit. It's all it is bullshit.
Let's talk about happier things. Season 3 of Glow, not only is it coming soon, but it's going to have Gina Davis in it. I haven't seen her in a minute, so that's awesome. I don't know if she's going to be a wrestler or she's probably going to be one of Mark Maron's, like,
wrestling promoter.
I was going to say she could be a Mark Maron's ex-wife. I thought that would be
I mean, she could still tie to that, but she's going to be running, like, the promotion, the Vegas promotion and production or something like that.
Hey, I don't care. Is this enough to get you to get back? I believe you said you canceled Netflix. Was this enough to get you to get back Netflix?
I do have Netflix canceled. I am trying to work out the timing of it, but I want Netflix for both Jessica Jones season 3 and Glow season 3.
You're just going to do like a month. You're going to do like a month by month basis with them, huh?
I'm going to try to, like, get it to overlap, but I mean, Glow is fantastic. Glow is one of those shows that works its ass off, that deserves Emmy recognition, because it's smart, great directing. Name any of the actresses, like, they are fantastic. The fact that they actually do their own stunts and, like, actually trained as wrestlers to, like, put on the show is amazing. It's like Tom Cruise light, because, and I say light because Tom Cruise learned how to fly a plane or a helicopter. And, you know, I'm going to give Tom Cruise his credit for doing that. These are the kinds of shows that are going to get squeezed out. And again, I'm going to just get mad at Game of Thrones for doing this arrogant bullshit. Don't do this to me, Game of Thrones.
See what I said, guys? That's why I don't like bringing up Game of Thrones on the show, because this happens. This is like bringing up Dark Tower Book 6 and 7 for me. It's like, forget about talking about anything else the rest of the way.
I will say, if you are listening and you're like, what is Glow? Go to Netflix. Go watch Glow. It's 2 seasons, 20 episodes, like 30 minutes a piece.
Yeah, you can watch it like 6 hours. You can watch the whole series. It's
a fantastic series.
And you don't have to have any interest in wrestling at all. My wife don't care about wrestling, and she loves us. So
yeah, it's fun. The characters are well thought out. Like, there's a lot more heart to it than I think I ever thought it would have. And by the end of it, you are rooting for these characters. 260, all of them. They're likable characters, even some of the scummier ones.
Hey, here's one I didn't even know about. And I know that you watch it. I do not, but my wife does. And she was telling me, and she was very upset about it. Apparently season 4 of The Good Place is going to be the last one.
I love The Good Place. The Good Place is probably the best comedy on TV right now, broadcast TV. I'm okay with it because this is the director's, and this is the director saying, hey, we have a story to tell. And we have figured out that 4 seasons, about 50 episodes is enough to tell our story. If you are into The Good Place, you kind of know the twist that they have. And if they extended it any further, it would cheapen the show, in my opinion. You could only do so much with this, and they have a clear story to tell. I'm okay with that. It feels like 4 seasons will be just the right amount of time. The fact that they're doing this instead of like stringing the show along to get to that magical 100 number so you can have, you know, eternal checks and distribution shows that they care about the story that they're telling, and they're putting that first, not money first. So I think it's a great decision. I'm glad that they announced it ahead of time, because it prevents people from getting mad at NBC for doing it when it's not NBC's decision. And if it was up to NBC, they would probably love to churn out 10 seasons of this and get syndication dollars and like slap, you know, checks for the rest of their lives. But I think it's great. It's a great show. If you haven't checked it out, it's one of those shows that it's funny and it makes you laugh. And I can't believe how funny that writing room is, but at the same time, it also does a really good job of making you think. And that's so unexpected, but I think that a lot of the best projects out there can make you do both.
See, and it's opening up the door for Kristen Bell to go back and do more Veronica Mars, which she is. And it leaves the door open for that Cheers reunion.
Ted Danson, baby, he's back.
Make it happen. Come on, Woody. DC Universe, neither one of us have it. I am a big Swamp Thing fan. I was super excited to watch this Swamp Thing show. Got incredible reviews. People saying it's actually fucking scary. Super awesome. I'm like, okay, this is great. Great. Even the whole, it only got 10 episodes when it was supposed to be 13. Apparently they don't matter. Not that big a deal. Apparently it's a big deal because they already canceled it. And apparently like even the showrunners are like confused. I read the thing that you sent me where like they said they didn't even like tear down the sets because they thought that they were coming back. This is just mind boggling to me. I do not even understand what happened. Do you know any more about this than I do? Because from what I've read, like they wanted it to be more like the CW shows. Is that just a rumor? I was like, do you know anything about Swamp Thing, guys? Like even James Wan's saying he wants, you know, more people to be vocal about it so we can try to get it picked up somewhere else.
So James Wan, our favorite creepy puppet, released an Instagram post, and he says he released it with a photo of Swamp Thing, which looks fantastic. Like,
yeah, it looks awesome.
This is awesome. Like, it's awesome. And he says, don't really know or understand why Swamp Thing was canceled. But I can tell you this, all the cast and crew, production, writing teams poured their hearts into this. Really proud of everyone's work. Go watch episode 2, which, yeah, they canceled it after 1 episode and immortalized these 10 episodes. Swampy deserves it. 10 episodes, they cut down the original order from 13 to 10. I think the heartbreaking thing about this is that, people loved that first episode, and critics who have seen a few of them love what they've done here. It's very different in tone. It's dark. It's horror. It's what Swamp Thing should be.
Right.
Apparently the showrunners had 3 seasons mapped out. Not only did they have 3 seasons mapped out, they also had it spinning off into Justice League Dark, which is a thing that a lot of people have wanted for a lot of long, long time, which also means John Constantine.
Yes.
Which keeps our boy Matt Ryan like within a job, which is great. I think that's the disturbing thing to me, is that they had a plan. They had a clear vision for like, this is what our Swamp Thing story is going to be. And then we're going to turn it into Justice League Dark, and it's going to be great. and then it got cut out, and no one seems to know why. Even James Wan himself doesn't seem to know why. And that's disturbing because James Wan has, you would think he has a lot of pull and sway with DC because he just delivered a boatload of money, pun intended. Boats.
I see you. You're going to be a great dad someday with these dad jokes. It's going to be awesome, man.
I think it's troubling because you and me, we want to get DC Universe. I think both have said we would love there to be a little bit more content on there before we plop down the monthly thing and start going through the binges. But I've heard Doom Patrol's good. I've heard Doom Patrol's actually fantastic. Really good.
Yeah.
I love Young Justice and I want to see that. And I was banking on this being the third series of like, hey, this is actually really good stuff. Come check it. And then I was planning to jump aboard. Now I'm pausing. Like, what is their fucking plan with DC Universe? Because you see this and it's a start stop thing. And then you look at Disney Plus and like, oh yeah, here are the series that are going to be here day one. Here's the release schedule for like the next wave of series. Here are the actors, actresses, everything involved. And you're like, yet again, Disney got that shit.
It's so frustrating when you're a DC fan because Warner just doesn't have a fucking clue what their fans want. God, it's so frustrating. And I have friends that are Marvel fans and they're just like, I'm fucking just jealous of them sometimes. I want to feel like that, like I do with, you know, look, guys, I always say I like them both. Nothing, but yeah, if you're making me pick one, I've always preferred DC stuff. I prefer DC characters. And to see that they just routinely get mishandled like this. I mean, I've wanted Swamp Thing for fucking ever. And here I was excited to finally watch this shit. Now I don't even want to watch it. Just for it to end on a cliffhanger probably and not get any more. It's annoying.
I mean, Swamp Thing is, I mean, it's you. It's horror. It's supernatural horror, superheroes, magic, mystic arts. Like, this should be, like, the thing that convinces you, like, hey, Mike, now you can get DC Universe.
No, I said it was going to be the first one that I actually watched on that thing. Because, I mean, yeah, y'all can tell me how great it is all you want. But to me, Doom Patrol and Titans just looks like a CW show. You need to be talking to Danny. That's his stuff, not mine.
That's why I was into Doom Patrol, because it seems like Legends of Tomorrow uncensored.
Yeah. never going to happen until DC finds a way to break away from Warner Brothers, which they never will, because they're going to get that sweet merchandise money for Superman and Batman t-shirts. So,
Disney, do you want to buy DC?
Sad that it's come to that. Oh, God.
Cash offer right here.
Let's move to E3.
And they could.
Yeah, for sure. Let's move to E3. All right. I'll say that the coverage for it on the channel this year, me and Kyle tried, since we knew it was going to kind of be a down year, we were experimenting with some things, and basically we got like the intro show in. That's really all we got to do. But that's okay. It was a lighter year. There wasn't a ton of stuff that really taught me. There's stuff we're going to talk about here, but it wasn't like one of those years that you're going to look back on 5 years from now and be like, man, what a great year that was for E3. But I guess before I open up to you, I'll say what stood out to me at E3 the best is obviously Cyberpunk finally got a release date. I mean, I don't think that you're into this, and even you've probably heard of Cyberpunk 2077. And it's got Keanu Reeves on board. Is this guy having like the greatest career resurgence or what? Like, he's become like a Twitter icon overnight. It's crazy. This weekend he had Toy Story 4. He's still got John Wick 3 going on. And now he shows up at E3 on stage because he's in Cyberpunk 2077. This is just crazy. It's crazy.
I'm not surprised you let off with this, because he is on a roll right now. And I kind of half joked. I'm like, he looks like an older version of the Winter Soldier in Cyberpunk 2027. I'm like, I never thought I wanted Winter Soldier versus John Wick, but now I'm kind of into it.
As far as the game, I mean, I hope it's good. I trust them enough, that company enough, that I'm going to, I'll probably buy that one without having to wait for a review or anything like that. So that's my one must buy from this show. And obviously it's finally got a release date. You know, it's 57 years earlier than we planned. It's next year. A lot of people joke for a while there because it'd been delayed so long it was announced so early and the wait was so long that, that was actually going to come out in 2077. But also Microsoft kind of, I guess if I'm going to have to pick someone that had the best show, I have to go with Microsoft. I believe you're going to go with Nintendo. I think Kyle went with Square Enix. I'll go with Microsoft just because even if I'm saying that I'm not going to get it, they're the first to announce the next gen console. So that's kind of a big deal. And that Halo Infinite or Infinity, I'm still not sure which one it is. I think it's Infinite, is going to launch with it. I don't know if they're sticking with Project Scarlet. It's the system name, whatever. That don't really matter to me. But for me, I moved to PC gaming, and Microsoft, everything that they release is going to be on Xbox and PC now. I have no reason to buy the next Xbox. I will just buy the PC. But all these companies are really pushing these subscriptions now, these Game Passes. You know, it's getting to the point where if you get all these streaming services and all these game plans, you're paying more than you ever used to for cable and just video games, guys. So just be careful with them. That's all I'm going to say. But yeah, I definitely think that Microsoft had the game of show, even if I'm not going to be buying that system. You as a Microsoft guy, are you interested in their next console, or are you so disillusioned with the Xbox One that you're like, I'll wait?
I like my Xbox One. I think I have moved from a release day or release window new console buyer to a second wave buyer.
Mm, I always have been.
I didn't like it, and I texted about it. The reason why I love Nintendo, the reason why I like Nintendo, the reason why I love Nintendo's show today is they put games first. You can make fun of them for like the kiddie games. You can make fun of them for like the underpowered systems. They put games first. They have game after game after game after game. They don't forget that this is why you invest $300, $400, $500, $600 into a system. A, thank God that they keep their prices down too, because I can only imagine what the new Microsoft system is going to cost. But
600.
I mean, you can buy a Nintendo, you can buy a Switch today, and you can have like three or four game of the year quality games ready to go for you right now, with three or four more on the horizon. With Microsoft, they're talking about like faster load times and frame per second this, and like, oh, it's going to be the most powerful, blah, blah, blah. I don't give a shit about any of, I don't care how long I'm waiting in the elevator for Mass Effect to load. I really don't. A, I get to hear Garrus say some like weird ass like laugh for like the 100th time, but that shit doesn't matter to me. The problem with the Xbox One was that there weren't games, period. End of story. You want to tout like, oh, look at the computers, and let me talk about the teraflops. Sorry, Kyle.
No, I was thinking it while they were showing. I was like, I don't care about this stuff, man.
I don't care. I genuinely don't care. Like Kyle said, you can make a powerful PC for cheap. What the PC doesn't have is those dedicated gaming studios like a Microsoft or a Sony and Nintendo can draw upon and make a good game. Just give me good games. Give me elite level games that I can put 10, 15 plus hours on and feel satisfied and happy with it. On the flip side of it, Nintendo gave me that. Like, you know, I got, you know, a look at the new Animal Crossing. I got a look at, you know, some of the new stuff for Smash Brothers and that Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening, which is a remake of one of my favorite games of all time. And that's coming in. They gave me release dates for September. They gave me Luigi's Mansion 3, The Witcher 3, if I want to actually invest in that.
Yes, do it.
It's not only the Witcher 3, it's like the mega.
You mean the Switcher?
The Switcher, there we go. I mean, we know Pokemon Sword and Shield is coming. They gave us more features there, and including like a Corgi dog, which is going to be my favorite Pokemon ever because I love Corgis. They're dope. They gave us a Breath of the Wild sequel in development.
I was going to go by company here, but it sounds like he's already starting us off on Nintendo. So this counts towards the Nintendo segment.
I will say the one thing now that gives me pause about Breath of the Wild is I was reading an interview and they were talking about which open world games inspired the original Breath of the Wild. And of course, it's Skyrim. I would say probably top five game for both of us.
Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's a fantastic game. I don't even want to know how much combined time we
spent. Probably about 3,000 hours between the two of us, I'm sure.
The one thing they said is that what's inspiring this breath for what we'll call Breath of the Wilder for a different environment is they said it's inspired by Red Dead Revolution 2. And I'm like, oh, time
oh,
out.
Oh, no, God, no.
Hard pass.
I didn't even hear that part. I just watched the trailer. Oh, that's deflating. Because I told you that Breath of the Wild for us was like a revelation, where me and my wife would put the kids to bed and we would play till 1 a.m. every single night for like 2 months, on work nights, on school nights, everything, because we were so into that game. So yeah, anytime I'm going to get a sequel to that, I'm thinking it's going to kind of be what Majora's Mask was to Ocarina of Time, where it's just going to be something a little different, but kind of maybe off the same engine. Maybe even like the same world with like a fresh coat of paint and different enemies or something like that. But whatever it is, I'll be getting it. I mean, I even bought the DLC for Breath of the Wild, and I never buy DLC packs.
Yeah. When I buy the Switch this fall, I'm going to get Breath of the Wild. I'm going to get Link's Odyssey. Awakening. I'm going to get Odyssey, and I'm going to get Smash Brothers. I'm going to put that pre-order down for Pokemon. That's 5 games right there.
Hey, 80% ain't bad, man. That's good. 4 out of 5. 4 out of 5. Anything else in Nintendo? I mean, obviously, look, Link's Awakening, very cool. I think it looks really cool. The art style was an interesting choice, but I like it. I think it's very charming. I'm against paying $60 for a remake. So
I would hope that they have new content to it. I'll still buy it. Link's Awakening is one of my favorite games of all time. It is a beautiful, beautiful story, and that's very different. It was Majora's Mask before Majora's Mask. I know you don't.
No, look, I liked Majora's Mask. Just when you guys say it's like top 2, top 3 Zelda game, I'm like, dude, do you guys realize how many great Zelda games there are? I don't think that y'all do, because Majora's Mask is not one of them.
I think the two things of note for me from Nintendo Direct, before we move on to other stuff, is the first is bringing a game like The Witcher over. Nintendo.
See, I wasn't sure it could handle it, but it looks fine.
With the Wii, Nintendo got criticized for being too childish, too kiddie, didn't appeal to the more serious gamer. And yes, The Witcher is an older game at this point. People have played it who've played it. But I think even showing the effort to port it over and make it a Switch version is Nintendo again saying, like, hey, we hear you. You want games? We're going to give you games. And here is a game that's going to take up, like, 3 or 4 years of your life or something.
I'm still playing it, man. Still playing it.
So I think that's a good sign for Nintendo fans everywhere that they're doing this. Hopefully they'll get away from ports and like have the same release dates and moving forward in the future. I think the other cool thing for me is seeing a Banjo-Kazooie come over as Smash Brothers DLC. I hate DLC that you have to pay for. I think that's stupid. Just like make a complete game and give people their updates for free. But that's a whole another issue for a whole other time. The fact that Microsoft-owned Rare is letting Banjo-Kazooie play in Nintendo-owned Smash Brothers is cool. Everyone talks about cross-play. Everyone wants to see cross-play. We're getting closer and closer to that. Seeing Microsoft and Nintendo partner up is fantastic. I personally love it. I would hope that Nintendo lets some of their games out of the box maybe one day. Who knows? But, yeah, I think that's cool. I think it's great, and I think it shows that in video games that there is such a thing as collaboration. And I think it's a nice little feather in Nintendo's cap that they can say, cool, we've got characters from Sony games. We've got characters from Sega games. We got character from Microsoft game, and we got our own characters playing in this Smash Brothers craziness.
Yeah. First show without Reggie, it went okay.
The Bowser joke, as corny as it is, it's,
it's ridiculous. I
thought that was fucking hilarious.
Let's talk about Square Enix. I don't know if you watched their thing, besides this Avengers game, which looks absolutely horrendous and hilariously bad. I will fight anybody who disagrees. It looks awful.
You spent 4 years developing this game. 4 years. You had 4 years to get this trailer right. This first trailer coming off of Endgame, when Avengers hype is at its all-time high, and you give me the great value Avengers. You gave me Captain America and fucking hockey pads. Are you cute? You gave me
great value. This is like Dollar Tree.
You gave me a Tony Stark, who he's a billionaire, playboy, genius philanthropist, and you gave me a guy that looks like a high school nerd. Like, what? You gave me a Thor that looks like Shakespeare in the fucking park. Black Widow, who doesn't look anything. You have Scarlett Johansson that you can model her off of, and you gave me like a dude in a wig. Like, what is this? This is garbage. The only thing it got right is that Hawkeye's.
I thought it was really courageous of them to gender swap Black Widow, make her a man. That was really courageous of them. Oh, that wasn't for sure. Oh, oops, that was an accident.
At least the Hulk looks like the Hulk, maybe? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm sorry. You had 4 years to get this right, and you deliver something that like hit people as hard as a wet noodle.
If they didn't want to, if they were intentionally trying to make it not look like the MCU, I could understand that. But it's not just because of that. It looks awful.
Well, the hard thing for Square Enix is that people automatically are going to compare this to Spider-Man. The great thing about Sony's Spider-Man is that it looks comic faithful. It looked great. It looked sharp.
Yeah, it's better than that Homecoming garbage. Yeah, for sure.
The movement of Spider-Man in that game looked like Spider-Man. When they showed all of these action shots of characters, it didn't even feel right. It just looked weird. The fact that some people are trying to hype themselves up about it or saying it's not a big deal, it looks bad. Captain America alone looks like a fucking 50-year-old dad who put on hockey pads. It's like, well, I guess I got to take the kids out trick-or-treating today.
Oh, jeez, gosh.
Jeez, it's bad.
Right. The Final Fantasy VII remake, I believe it's just they're supposed to be dropping this in segments, like part one, part two, part three. I hope they're not full price games when they're dropping like that. All I saw was a release date. It didn't say anything about part one or not, that it's coming out next March. I said that when I found out that they were breaking it up like that, that I wasn't interested, and that it seemed like they were just completely making something new. But nostalgia is going to get me on this one, I'm sure. I mean, I was totally out of video games. I saw a trailer for Final Fantasy VII in a movie theater and went and dropped like $200 the next day on a PlayStation just to play this game. So, yeah, I mean, this game has some sort of special place in my, I don't want to say childhood because I was like 18 when it came out. So, yeah, it was something that got me back into games when I was totally out of gaming. And sadly, I haven't let go since then again. So, yeah, I'll definitely be checking that out. But it's a Sony exclusive. So, yeah, get Witcher. Let's talk about Bethesda, or as I like to call them, what the hell happened to this company? Because you can go 2 years ago and hear us talk about how Bethesda is the shit and they can do no wrong and we love them. And then Fallout 4 came out and it seems like it's been downhill since then. I felt like Doom was cool. I liked the last Doom game. I'm not watching a Bethesda show. I'm not thinking about Doom. I'm thinking about Elder Scrolls. I'm thinking about not Fallout 76. Basically, their show was, hey, Fallout 76, it was bad and we took a lot of crap for it, but you guys should try it again. That's your show? That, a bunch of fucking tablet games? A bunch of online, the studio that sit there and got on stage and bragged about Save Player One, and all they're talking about is Elder Scrolls Online, this online card game, these online tablet games. What these guys are going to be the next EA if they are not fucking careful. Elder Scrolls and their Starfield game just got like a brief, last year they got like a title card. This year they get like a brief mention. Yeah, we're working on those. Bye. Wow, what an awful show. Awful.
The Fallout 76, like, I don't even want to talk about anything else. The Fallout 76 thing is bad. It is horrendous. You have people that hate this game and everything about it, and they just doubled down on it. And I get it. You invested money on it, but sometimes you got to say, hey, it was an L.
Some, you lose some, yeah.
We took an L, and it was a big L. The fact that they updated with fucking Battle, like, I'm sorry. Like, I get it. People love Battle Royale games. I'm probably now sounding like an old man at this point.
No, same thing. Can't stand it.
I mean, you are an old man. So.
You'll be there soon, bitch. Oh, I already am. I'm embracing it.
I don't give a fuck about Battle Royale games. That is not a thing that makes me go like, ooh, here's my money. Cool. Yeah. Like, it's a multiplayer mode where a bunch of people kill each other. Why do I care about that? Like, it's a gimmick at this point, and it's a gimmick that people are buying into. And by people, I mean developers, and they're putting out their Battle Royale modes. And it sucks because instead of investing those resources into the game, they just do something that people are going to play now. And then that's frustrating because, again, you can look at our video game discussion and see that our love for the older games, like Link's Awakening. Like, I just talked about how I'll happily put down $60 for Link's Awakening. I'm not going to put down $60 10 years from now on any of these games, especially the games with Battle Royale mode. Bethesda's HBO. Bethesda could do no wrong for the longest time. And it seems like they got full of themselves and they just can't get, they can't get out of their own way now. And it's frustrating to me because they have some great IP. Fallout should be fantastic. Hell, I think Kyle said it, like, cool, you should just release remastered Fallout 3, get some good graces back with people because Fallout 3 is a fantastic game. Nope. Here's Fallout 76. Here's a free week. Then pay us after that week.
You know, we talked about Outer Worlds on here before, and that's being made by Obsidian, the ones who made Fallout New Vegas, and that actually opened up Microsoft's show, and that's going to be a multi-platform. That basically looks like Fallout in outer space, so that it already looks better than Fallout 4. So, yeah, I wanted to mention that one for sure, since we've kind of already talked about everything else at Microsoft. Gears 5, you're either in or you're not with that series at this point.
That was a cool trailer. The one thing about the Gears people is that they know how to make a good trailer, mm-hmm. and they know how to take their video game, mash it with music, and make something that's a little bit more cinematic than everyone else. And they did it again, and it looks fantastic. I'm in. Here's my money. I love the Gears series, but like putting that with Billie Eilish and like, I don't even know what this game is, but like just the craziness of it and like the pulling and the stretching, it makes me think that this game will be a little bit different, but different in a good way. That's the thing that
as long as you got a chainsaw gun, you can still cut fools in half. Yeah.
So they got me on board. A new Halo game down the road is fine. Get back to basics with Halo, please, for the love of God. Just get back.
And make the campaign longer than 6 hours, for God's sakes. Quit shitting on the campaign just for multiplayer.
Don't put a battle royale mode.
I guarantee
it. Don't put a battle royale.
Guarantee it has it.
I hope we're out of that phase by the time that game drops. I don't need to see.
And as much as we just like crapped on Bethesda, there is a company that we like crap on way worse, and that's EA, and they've earned it. Me and Kyle, the EA show, all we did was like talk about everything else that we wanted to see, because besides this Star Wars game, which looks surprisingly good, there was nothing. I know that. I believe you play FIFA, don't you?
I do play FIFA. I love
so,
FIFA.
I mean, yeah, if you're into FIFA still and Madden, then yeah, you probably have more in EA than me or Kyle did. But the Star Wars Fallen Jedi Order game, it looks cool. It looks like an Assassin's Creed, but with Star Wars, like the new Assassin's Creed, not the ones that you play, like the newer versions of Assassin's Creed, which are kind of like Witchery. It looks like a mix of kind of like that and like an Uncharted. So I want to be excited, because it takes place, Rogue One era. Because it even has Forrest Whitaker in it.
I did see that, and I was like, I hope he does the voice.
It's in the era of Star Wars stuff that I want to see, but I don't trust EA. So I think this will be one that I definitely have to. There's got to be some reviewers that I trust that will tell me that it's good before I give it a try. Even then, it'll probably be deep discount on Steam or something like that before I give it a go. But yeah, I mean, that's basically it. I mean, obviously, Cyberpunk's your big one because it finally got a date. What's that?
Did we talk about Ubisoft?
You know, I missed the Ubisoft show, and when I heard that Watch Dogs 3 was headlining their show, because there's no Assassin's Creed anywhere this year, there's no Far Cry this year, it feels weird, because I feel like, for me, Ubisoft has won Best in Show the previous 2 years. So the fact that I didn't even watch their show this year, because I was at work, and when I got home, I heard the buzz that there was like no buzz for it, I didn't even watch. I have no interest in Watch Dogs.
So I did watch Ubisoft, because I was hoping, like a fool, that they would do Child of Light 2. And again, another year has passed, and there's no Child of Light 2. And I hate you, Ubisoft.
It's like me every year with Elder Scrolls.
They did release some. There's, I guess, Assassin's Creed Odyssey is getting a story creator where you can create your own missions.
I pay other people to do that for me. I don't want to do it myself. I'm not a game programmer. Yeah.
There's that. John Bernthal, our boy, the Punisher, was there. He's in the new Ghost Recon, which I'm going to just call Punisher Recon, because that's all I'm going to think when I see this game. He also brought his dog, which a dog apparently stole the show, because he was a very good boy, and he did not like pee on the stage, so good there. I don't have the Watch Dogs hate. I think the coolest thing for me about this game, but at least has me intrigued, is that you can assume control over any character in the game, like any character, which is interesting and different because it's not a thing that you can do. And I know they demonstrated that by having like a grandma like beat up everybody, but it's at least got me like curious about the game and wanting to learn a little bit more. I love alt world games and the fact that it's like kind of apocalyptic post Brexit London is kind of interesting to me. So I'll at least pay a little bit more attention to that as we get closer to release.
I've never played a game in the series. That's more why I'm not interested. I think Ubisoft is a wonderful developer, so I'm sure it's probably at least playable. I love the Far Cry series. I even like that Far Cry 5 expansion that they put out and called it a new game. So, I'm always going to be on board with Ubisoft. I didn't actually watch her show when I heard like the biggest thing there was that they announced a movie adaptation of The Division on Netflix. So with Jessica Chastain and Jake Gyllenhaal. So.
Yeah, that was a little bit weird. They're announcing that they announced a TV show with Rob McClaney, one of the dudes from It's Always Sunny, and he's making a comedy series about.
Oh, with Mac. Yeah.
And of course, it's got Danny Pudi from Community, who I love and adore. So when you got those two in the same show, like I'm going to pay attention to it. So it's interesting that they were doing stuff like announcing movies and TV shows. But at the same time, like, I don't know. I feel like these developers have an opportunity to really take hold of, well, I was about to say this generation, but next generation. So I'm hoping that a lot of people's like underwhelmed feelings of disappointment with E3 this year, like some developer out there takes hold of it and like gets back to putting up kick-ass games that people will pay for. And we've seen it time and time again, the video game industry, people will pay for it if it is good. Make me a good game.
I'll say when I heard that Netflix was going to be at E3, I was hoping that it was going to be a trailer for the Witcher series. But you know, I'm reading the Witcher series now, so I'm getting more interested in that seeing what this Netflix show, if it's going to be just a complete flame out, or if it has a chance to fill that dark fantasy hole, no pun intended, that Game of Thrones has left. So I really hope, because I mean, I got my boy Henry in it, you know, so I wanted to do well. And I just, now that I'm reading it, I get to nitpick the hell out of it, you know, and I didn't get to do that before. So it is based off the books, not the game. The games are loosely based on the books. So yeah, you'll have a lot of people that are complaining. It's not just like the game that they played or something like that. And then you'll have the book people saying, shut your mouth and read a book. So yeah, that's me. But I keep hearing it's coming out in December. So we got to see something. But you know, Netflix, they do what they want. Hey, there's no announcement or nothing. Just like, hey, here's a trailer. It drops this Thursday. You know,
so, you'll probably be in you probably won't hear anything till like October, November.
Yeah. And it'll be like, hey, yeah, it comes out like in 2 weeks. Yeah. Sounds about right. I wish we'd see something, because, you know, all we've seen is that horrible makeup test picture or video that they put up of him, which looked like, if you thought that Captain America looked like bad trick-or-treating dad taking his kids out as Captain America, yeah, that looked like something else. I don't even know. So I wish they would, even if they would just release like a production still of him as Geralt, I think that it would generate some real excitement. But it's Netflix. They can do what they want.
Oh, I will say about the Avengers game. Apparently, and this is not a joke, and this was confirmed by Square Enix, Ant-Man is somewhere in the trailer, which I don't fucking...
Maybe he's in Thanos' butt. That's what I like to talk about. All right, well, that's all I got. I was like, I don't know if we want to have a show, but yeah. If there isn't something we talked about a while back, if there isn't like a ton of news, we're not going to force one of these shows or something like that. So we're going to let some stuff build up. Obviously, E3 was a lot to talk about. And I wanted to see Danny talk about Game of Thrones, you know, a couple weeks removed here now. And I think I can still see him like a little sweat on his forehead there, because
he. I don't know what pissed me off more, this or that, or Square Enix's Avengers.
I never expected the Avengers game to be good. So, but I mean, I think I appreciate this more because at least it gave me a good laugh.
I think I expected it, and I expected it because we've seen Batman get the Arkham City treatment. By the way, Rocksteady didn't even show up to announce whatever the hell they've been working on for like 8 years.
Green Lantern. If I can't get a movie, give me a Green Lantern game.
The Arkham series was great. Spider-Man by Insomniac, fantastic. I think the bar had been raised for licensed superhero games, and to see what Square Enix has been working on for years, and it looked like the fucking Saturday Night Live skit of the Avengers, is just, it's disappointing. Like, these are the, now, what a time we live in that we can say this, these are the most well-known heroes in the world, and you can't just deliver something subpar like that. Not when the fandom is so intense for Marvel right now.
They dominate the movies, but DC dominates animated and video games, apparently. So
still do.
Well, like I said, I felt like PS4 Spider-Man was the best. If you said that Spider-Verse is up here, I think that Spider-Man PS4 story is like right here. And that's more because it had the rogues in it. You know, it had a shit ton of villains and it had a really good story. So, yeah, still so much good Spider-Man stuff out there. And I look at Far From Home. I'm like, I don't see it, man. I don't see it. But we'll see.
I mean, I'm still going to watch it. Like, it can't be X-Men bad, right?
I've said I'm not expecting, I'm not, I treated Endgame as an end, and I'm not super excited for what's to come, but I'll still be watching until I feel like they don't deserve my money anymore. And, you know,
I bet your kid will have you there to watch Spider-Man.
Probably. I mean, I don't know. We got like the gauntlet coming up here. We got Toy Story, then we got, what was it? Spider-Man and Lion King. We got Lion King.
Oh yeah, Lion King still has to drop.
Lion King. I will be bringing my tissues. So that's the childhood feels right there, because I was like, I don't really know if I need to see this, and all I heard was Hans Zimmer's score, and I'm like, so they know where their bread's buttered. If that Aladdin movie, whatever, I could take it or leave it. But Lion King, yeah, it's Lion King. That's my favorite Disney animated movie. So I'll definitely be there, even if it doesn't have Be Prepared in it. I am prepared for it not to have Be Prepared in it. So I'm glad they told me that up front. Do you know The Lion King as well as I do?
Probably not as well, but like I know the beats, and I know that the acting, the voice cast is, so far I've been impressed with every trailer. It's going to get the feels. It's going to get the heart.
I want this getting like best special effects Oscar nominations. I want Jungle Book good.
It looks so good. You know,
it looks fucking real. That's what I want.
I'm so impressed by how good this looks. Unlike Square Enix, Avengers. God damn it.
All right, guys. We'll talk to you maybe next week, maybe the week after that. Take care.
Okay, geeks, thanks for listening to the show. Now, if you didn't get enough geek material to help you through the week, you can always hop on the TARDIS here and check out the archives on the homepage, Facebook, YouTube, or iTunes. Also, take a moment, subscribe on iTunes, and leave a star rating if you get a second, as it helps others to find the show. To find us, just simply open iTunes and search for Geek Media Corp. Also, be sure to follow the guys on Twitter. The home account is @GMCPodcast. Mike is @Zep1978, and Danny is @DC_612. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk at you next week.